produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It is great to be back with you once again, and we're looking forward to our visiting with you this day. Oftentimes in life, we feel the need to reevaluate how we are doing as a husband or as a wife, as a parent or as a grandparent. How are our kids doing? How are our grandkids doing? And so today we'd like to talk about how parents can raise a good child. Now, for many, this could be grandparents raising a good child, or parents, or aunts, uncles, whoever may be providing child care to a precious young one. Now, we all know that Heavenly Father is our Heavenly Father, and that He created each and every one of us in His image as spirit sons and daughters. One of the great gifts that Heavenly Father has given to all of His children is the gift of free agency, the freedom to choose. Now, with that agency or freedom to choose comes a lot of responsibility, but there's also an element of accountability as well. And so, you know, the scriptures say, teach a child in the ways of the Lord, and he'll not soon depart from it. Well, we all do our best to teach correct principles and hope that that young one will govern themselves accordingly. So today we're going to talk about some ideas that might be helpful on how parents can raise a good child. You know, many parents focus attention on their children's grades and extracurricular activities, you know, such as making sure kids study, do their homework, get to soccer practice, cheerleading, or dance lessons on time. But all too often, we forget to put time and effort into nurturing another component of child success and development, one that is just as important and perhaps even more essential, and that is being a good person. Being a good person. It can be easy to forget that the importance of countering the pervasive messages of instant gratification, consumerism, and selfishness prevalent in our society. If we want to raise children who are genuinely nice people, we can help guide our kids toward habits and behaviors that promote positive character traits like kindness, generosity, and empathy for those who are less advantaged or who need help. C.S. Lewis famously said, integrity is doing the right thing even when no one else is watching. How can we raise a good child, one who will do the right thing even when no one may seem to see them do it, and when there may be no reward? While there's no guaranteed formula, if only there was, here are some ways parents can build good character and help their child grow into a good person. I've entitled this 11 Keys to Raising a Good Child. Now, we know what a key is. A key unlocks the door. A key unlocks a lock. So hopefully we're going to discuss things that will help to unlock the challenge of raising a good child. Number one, teach and nurture your child to have faith in God and strive to keep his commandments. So why should we do that? Faith is much more than passive belief. We express our faith through action, by the way we live. So how do we do this? Well, we encourage, by our example, our children to read and study the scriptures daily, pray regularly, participate in religious worship services, help them to be anxiously engaged in serving others, and striving to follow the perfect example of Jesus Christ. Faith can lead them to do good works, obey the commandments, and repent of sin. The Savior promised, we find this quote in Moroni, chapter 7, verse 33, found in the Book of Mormon. It says, "If ye will have faith in me, ye shall have power to do whatsoever thing is expedient in me." Think about that for a moment. The Savior promised, "If ye will have faith in me, ye shall have power to do whatsoever thing is expedient in me." Number two, nurture empathy in your child. Navigate through their feelings. So why should we do this? Well, kids need to learn how to deal with their emotions in productive ways. Working on this with your child will cut down on the fussy fits and bad attitude they may express from time to time. Sometimes our ability to care for others is limited by feelings of anger, shame, or envy. So it's important to overcome these emotions to transform our child into a caring person. So how do we do this? Well, identify feelings with your child, figure out resolutions with them, and train them to work through problems calmly. A report suggests a three-step trick. Stop, take a deep breath through the nose and exhale through the mouth, and count to five. Once they're calm, then you should talk about the problem. Emotional intelligence and empathy are the ability to put oneself in someone else's shoes and consider their feelings and thoughts is one of the most fundamental traits in good people. Studies have shown that having a high emotional quotient, that is, being able to understand one's own feelings and the feelings of others, is an important component of success in life. To encourage empathy in your child, encourage your child to talk about their feelings and make sure she or he knows that you care about them. When a conflict occurs with a friend, ask them to imagine how their friend might be feeling and show ways of managing their emotions and work positively toward a resolution. Number three, encourage them to lift up others. Prioritize caring for others. Why? Children won't know that caring about others will make them feel better unless you teach them. Set high ethical expectations. Findings of a report suggest prioritizing commitments, doing the right thing, even when it's hard, and standing up for values of fairness and justice. Do this and you're on the road to raising someone concerned with the world around them. While stories about kids engaging in bullying and other bad behavior often make headlines, the truth is that many kids quietly perform good deeds in the ordinary course of their lives, whether it's making a friend feel better when he or she is down or pitching in at a community center. As you encourage positive behavior, such as doing something to make someone's day better, even something as small as patting a friend on the shoulder when they're sad, be sure to talk about what negative effects behaviors like gossiping or bullying have on both sides, both those who are bullied and those who do the bullying, and why and how it hurts people. Number four, teach them to be good citizens by understanding their community, national, and world problems. Why? It's important for children to think about their social circle of family and friends while also being concerned with the big picture. It's important for children to develop concern for people who live in other cultures and communities. This will make them empathetic and prepare them to connect with people of all backgrounds. How? Well, discuss global hardships with your child and use newspapers, magazines, or the TV to start the conversation. You can also prompt them to think about what it's like to be someone else, even if it's just the new kid in class. All of these little thoughtful moments will add up. Teach them to volunteer. Motivate them to join a cause. Why? Well, by getting involved in the community, your child will learn about fairness, loyalty, ethics, and how to work with others. Most children are naturally interested in ethical questions, so by getting involved, they'll be able to navigate their way through these issues. How? Involve your child in a cause that takes action against problems they face or addresses an area that interests them. Experts suggest that bonus points if you actually do it with them. We've all experienced it's so much better to not just say, go do something, but to say, let us go do this together. Whether your child helps an elderly neighbor by shoveling their sidewalk or helps you pack some canned goods into boxes for donation to a family shelter, the act of volunteering can shape your child's character. When kids help others, they learn to think about the needs of those less fortunate than they are and can feel pride of themselves for making a difference in others' lives. There are some amazing studies that have shown that, especially with teenagers, as well as younger children, that volunteering and serving others has a great benefit. It helps to reduce issues of isolation, feelings of depression, and those involvements with others and with other people and other situations by volunteering one's time and energy go a long way in helping to keep a young person on the right path. Number six, offer rewards sparingly. Why? Well, an important thing to remember when encouraging kids to help others is not to reward them for every single good deed. That way your child won't associate volunteering with getting things for himself or herself and will learn that feeling good about helping others will be in itself a reward. How? Well, kids love encouragement and thrive on parental approval. And yes, an occasional reward is a great way to show him or her how thankful you are for the good things he or she does, such as helping others, working hard, and or studying hard. I remember we had a little system going with our kids as they were younger where we paid them for their report card. And an A got a dollar and I believe a B got 50 cents and nothing for a C, and they owed us 50 cents for a D, and owed us a dollar for an F. So a little bribe system, if you will, but that seemed to incentivize them, and they did pretty well through the school year. So we thought that worked well. Moving along, number seven, teach them good manners. Teach them to be thankful. Encourage them to say thank you. Why? Children need to practice gratitude. It's important for them to acknowledge the many people who contribute to their lives. It will grow them to be helpful, generous, compassionate, and forgiving. Plus, they'll be happier and healthier. How? Make sure your child is showing gratitude on a regular basis. For example, at dinner time, in the car, at a friend's house, or routinely reflecting and thinking of others. Daily repetition is the key. pretty soon it will be second nature for your child. Does your child routinely practice the fundamentals of good manners, such as saying, thank you, and please? Does she or he speak in a polite manner to people and address elders as Mr. or Mrs.? Does he or she know how to greet people properly? And are they familiar with the basics of good table manners? Is she or he a gracious loser when he or she plays a game with friends? Again, teaching them to say, you know, have good manners and to say things such as, you're welcome, or yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am. These will develop character traits and will be very beneficial for them in their interactions with their elders and with people in authority. Remember that you're raising a person who will go out into the world and interact with others for the rest of their life. And this little person, as they grow, will be at the dinner table with you and interacting with you every day until they leave the nest. You can play an important role in shaping how well-mannered your child will be. Teaching your child how to be grateful and how to express that gratitude is a key component of raising a good child. Whether it's for a meal you've prepared for dinner, or for a birthday gift from grandma and grandpa, teach your child to say thank you for things like gifts for birthdays and holidays. Be sure your child gets into the habit of writing thank you cards. Number 8, treat them with kindness and respect. And be sure to put fun time on the calendar. Why? Kids learn about care and respect when they are treated with care and respect. The best time to give them care and respect when you're doing something fun together. It's as simple as reading your child a bedtime story or playing a game or sports together. Build one-on-one time into their weekly schedules rather than leaving it to chance. Findings suggest that the way you'll treat it just as importantly as that work meeting. And it's much more likely to happen on a regular basis. Asking questions like, what was the best part of your day? And what did you accomplish today that makes you feel good? And help them to learn to think beyond the surface level of their actions and identify their feelings. The most effective way to get kids to speak to you and to others in a respectful manner and to interact with others in a nice manner is by doing exactly that yourself when you interact with your child. Think about how you speak to your child. Do you speak harshly when you're not happy about something? Do you ever yell or say things that are not nice? Consider your own way of speaking, your own way of acting, and even thinking and trying to choose a friendly and polite tone and manner with your child, even when you are talking to them about a mistake or misbehavior. Number 9, discipline your child consistently. Why? Parents who hold back on giving children boundaries or firmly but lovingly correcting bad behavior may actually be harming their child with good intentions. Children who are not disciplined are unpleasant, selfish, and surprisingly unhappy. I remember growing up and in the generation, the baby boomer generation, and there was a doctor, a scientist who wrote a book. His name was Benjamin Spock. Not the Spock of Star Wars, but a 1950s book he wrote on how to raise children. And there was a lot in that he instructed was to be very gentle with children in a way that many thought that a whole generation of kids were somewhat spoiled and were not well disciplined. And thus, when the hippie generation came along, and the whole Vietnam anti-war movement and all the craziness of the 60s came along, many felt that that was a byproduct of the teaching approach that Dr. Spock had suggested in his book and had been accepted by many in the medical profession and psychology and psychological development field. So how do we discipline? Some of the many reasons why we need to discipline include the fact that children who are given clear rules, boundaries, and expectations are responsible, more self-sufficient, more likely to make good choices, and are more likely to make friends and be happy. As soon as you see behavior problems such as lying or backtalk, handle them with love, understanding, and firmness. Now, in terms of discipline strategies, there's a lot that we could discuss, and I'll try to summarize some ideas here. You know, it can be hard to know which consequences and discipline strategies will work best for your child. Every child is different, and discipline techniques that work for one child might not work for another. Although it can take a bit of trial and error to discover which discipline strategies work best for your child, the following five factors can help you narrow down the most effective consequences. Number one, your child's characteristics influence how she or he will respond to various discipline strategies. Characteristics include personality, temperament, physical abilities, talents, skills, strengths, and weaknesses. Parenting a defiant child who is easily frustrated requires different discipline strategies compared to a calm child who is eager to please. Also, a child who is clumsy and is teased by peers at school will benefit from different interventions when compared to an athletic child who is popular with their peers. Consider what types of rules, limits, and consequences will be the best suited to your child's own unique characteristics. Number two, the parental characteristics. Consider the fit between your characteristics and your child's characteristics. Take note of the similarities and differences between your personalities, temperament, and preferences. This can point to areas where you may have less tolerance for average behavior. For example, if you are a low-key person who prefers a quiet household, you might struggle to have patience with a loud, hyperactive child. However, on the other hand, if you have low frustration tolerance, you may struggle to help a child with a learning disability complete their homework, for example. Examining these factors can increase your awareness of steps that will be more effective in accommodating and disciplining your child. Understanding which areas you and your child are well-matched, as well as the areas that might not be completely in line, can help you craft an effective discipline plan that takes both of your needs into consideration. Number three, life changes and stressors. Life experiences influence a child's behaviors. Moving to a new home, attending a new school, or adjusting to a new baby in the home are examples of factors that influence behaviors. Take note of any recent changes and how this affects your child. For example, a child who is struggling to adjust to a new baby in the home may be feeling left out and may not respond well to timeout that separates him from the family and leave him feeling even more left out. Or if your family moved to a new city and your child uses electronics to communicate with his former friends, you may not want to take away his or her phone for misbehavior. Talking to their friends may be one of the best coping skills. Number four, consequences for positive behaviors. The consequence of a child receives for positive behavior determines the likelihood that these behaviors will occur again. Example, how you respond when your child follows the rules, listens, and behaves respectfully. Does your child receive praise? Are there any rewards for following the rules? Does your child gain any privileges for making good choices? Don't let good behavior go unnoticed. Praise your child for making good choices and behaving well. If your child is playing quietly, praise him for doing so. Although you might fear praise will interrupt him, it can actually reinforce him to continue to keep playing quietly. Offer praise, attention, and rewards that will motivate your child to follow the rules. If you find that your child is not getting enough positive reinforcement for good behaviors, adjust your discipline strategy to increase your child's motivation to behave. Number five, consequences for negative behaviors. Sometimes children receive reinforcement for negative behaviors, which encourages them to continue misbehaving. For example, a child who receives a lot of attention for whining learns that whining is an effective way to get attention. Negative attention can be very reinforcing. Yelling, arguing, or pleading with your child may actually be encouraging your child to misbehave. Negative behaviors need a negative consequence in order to discourage them from continuing. Sometimes ignoring mild misbehavior is the most effective consequence. Negative consequences also need to be consistent. If you are inconsistent with giving time out or taking away a privilege, your child will continue to misbehave in hopes he won't get a consequence this time. Providing consistent consequences teaches your child that each behavior results in a negative consequence. So it's important to evaluate the consequences you are currently using and determine whether you might want to implement other punishments that could be more effective. Moving on to our 10th and 11th. Number 10, give them responsibilities. Why? When children have an expected list of age-appropriate chores to do at home, such as helping set the table or sweeping the floor, they gain a sense of responsibility and accomplishment. Doing a good job and feeling like they are contributing to the good of the household can make kids feel proud of themselves and help them become happier. How? Kids feel competent when they do their chores. Helping out around the house helps a child feel capable. Doing chores also helps them feel like they're part of the team. Pitching in and helping family members is good for them, and it encourages them to be responsible and productive. And number 11, model good behavior. Be a strong role model. Why? The experts say your child learns ethical values and behaviors by watching you. I always love the quote that's attributed to St. Francis of Assisi when he says, "Preach often, and when necessary, use words." How? Pay close attention to whether or not you're practicing honesty, fairness, and caring for others. Practicing honesty, fairness, and caring for yourself. Nobody is perfect all the time. A Harvard report points out that is why it's important for us, in fact, to model for children humility, self-awareness, and honesty by acknowledging and working on our own mistakes and flaws. Your kids know you're not perfect, or they will when they get to their teenage years. So own it and use it as a chance to talk through your mistakes with your child. Consider how you interact with others, even when your child isn't watching. Do you say thank you to the checkout clerk at the market? Do you steer clear of gossip about neighbors or coworkers? Do you use a friendly tone when addressing waiters? It goes without saying that you directly influence how your child will be. If you want to raise a good child, conduct yourself in the way you want your child to act. Well, these 11 keys to raising a good child are hopefully helpful for you in your own journey of child rearing or grandchild rearing. I can testify to you that I wish there were some of this I knew a little bit more when I was raising our own kids. But I'm happy that we're able to have a second chance at times with grandkids. So as we go down this path of helping the next generation to be good people, that is a worthy goal. And it's one that we should be focused on. And with prayer and the Lord's help, we can accomplish. And I testify of this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.